Hello, everyone. It's Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by Lynn Scott Hagerman. She was in a child sex trafficking ring from birth to 5 years old, which is physical and mental torture from a child's perspective, as anyone could imagine. I think many of us can't even comprehend that. She was experimented on in an underground facility connected to an above-ground U.S. University medical center. In conjunction with the government, she saw God, Jesus, angels, and demons daily and went to heaven. She survived and was able to help some of the other children survive. Today, she is a nationwide human resource consultant, speaker, independent LifeWave distributor, marathoner, weightlifter, child of God, follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and friend to Holy Spirit. Her story is a story of hope, forgiveness, and the unfathomable love of God. She was activated last month by God for such a time as this. And we are very pleased to have you on our show, Lynn. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. This is the first time I fully shared my story. I briefly shared it on one of your Miracle Mondays, but this is the first time I've done it fully.
Yeah, very good. And, you know, I've had Kathy O'Brien on. She's been obviously trafficked as a child. I've had many, many people that have talked about child trafficking over the last several years. And I think this is basically your story is going to take it to another level. So let's jump in. What tell us a little bit about your background, how this all started for you.
Sure. Well, I want to start out saying that God is absolutely good. So whenever I was little, my dad was an alcoholic and a workaholic. So he was never home, had no idea what was going on. My mom, so Kathy O'Brien talks a lot about the generational pedophilia. So I know it goes back at least to her father. I suspicion it happened to her. And although it didn't happen to me in my family, I was sent she had me go to the neighbor's house day after day after day, and they had the child sex trafficking ring. So I need to emphasize, I mean, from my role is to honor the child part of me that was tortured and survived this, to honor the children who didn't make it. So I want to share what it's like from a little teeny-weeny girl's point of view. It feels like torture. Mental and physical torture. Sex has nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. It's torture. And I want to change the terminology because from a child's standpoint, this is attempted murder. And I know that's a strong phrase, but that's exactly what it is. And so in my adult life, how this works out is I'll be going along doing something. Something will trigger me, which means it's a time that the Lord wants me to remember another memory. And when the triggers happen, my body thinks it's going to die because that's what it was like as a little girl. I each time, day after day, over and over, I thought I was going to die. So my body as an adult, within 2 or 3 days, I can put on 9 pounds of fat. I can take off 9 pounds of muscle because it goes into survival mode. It really thinks it's dying.
Wow.
And because I'm so athletic, I see a sports nutritionist every month. I have for years. So she does that pinch test. So she hasn't seen anything like it, and I didn't share with her until recently what happened because I felt this freedom since sharing on your show. But that's why I call it attempted murder, because that's what my body says it is. So I thought I'd just give a few examples, not to trigger anyone else. But so there was a doctor there.
And that's excellent because so anyone listening, this is the first time you've really shared it on this level. You can imagine the kind of, you know, angst that would come with anyone that's sharing something so deeply personal as this. So I think you're doing an outstanding job. So I'm really pleased as how you're articulating so far. Very, very good. So Kathy O'Brien, I know it took her a long time to overcome a lot of stuff. So you're obviously in your adult life. At what point did it really start to, I mean, you've probably suppressed it. Was it always part of you, or did you suppress it and just forget it? And then now you've started to realize it again. How did it work for you?
Sure. So whenever I turned five and it was all over, I call it a brain wipe. And so, and I consider it a gift of God. I think there's official words for it, like repressed memory. But all I knew was, so I remembered probably 5%. I always knew something was really wrong with me. I never knew what, but I always knew something was really wrong, to the point where I have a bachelor's degree in psychology, a master's degree in industrial organizational psychology. It was a search for what is wrong with me. And because I always knew just, yeah. So in 2011, I was putting my makeup on. And all of a sudden, I had this memory from the crib. And, you know, it's probably as, you know, I'm sure it's horrific for a lot of you to hear about this. But so since that was my first real bad memory, I dropped to my knees. And I just started praying to the Lord, like, what is that? And the emotions, the feelings, all of it came flooding back. And I had to get my car later that day and drive. And I was going down the highway talking to the Lord about it. And I said, God, I said, I could have lived a lifetime without knowing about that. And I looked up and there was this big billboard that said, it's never too late.
Oh my God.
So never too late. And I had been seeing a therapist to get through a divorce. And she had just learned EMDR. And now she's like one of the leading trainers in the country. She's the leading trauma therapist in my area. So we started that procedure. And then the memories have been flooding out in the Lord's timing because he knows how much I can take. And these are so horrific that I'll sit there and I'll think, surely not. Surely not. They wouldn't do that to children. And the Lord always confirms it with something. Like one time they hung my cat on a one of those clotheslines. And I thought, surely not. And then I looked up at the TV channel I was watching at the time, and that cartoon popped by with the cat hanging on a clothesline. So the Lord confirms these things just to let me know, you know, it's okay. It happened. Let's process through it. Let's process it out and get you healed.
Yeah, that happened to me when I started to do the remote viewing influence, especially the remote influencing. I would have confirmations. I would doubt. I was like, what? I'm not doing this. And then I would get something like you're talking about, some kind of confirmation, some kind of like, you're on the right track. Stay focused. Yeah, keep going. Yeah, good. So what? Once you basically had those experiences, then what happened? Did you like do the research and find out, you know, because I know there was university involved, and how did you discover all that?
So we'd be going about my day, and because I'm a marathoner, I'm out running a lot. So a lot of the triggers happen while I'm out running, and I'll see something, and all of a sudden, I'll lose the ability to use a body part, or feel horrific pain in a body part, and I've learned over the years that that means there's some body memory going on, because the mind forgets, but the body remembers. And so when it came to the universities, I started having, for years in my therapy, I felt like that the Montauk hat you've seen, like in that, I guess there was some movie, I missed it, thank God, but with the child with the hat, the metal thing on and the wires coming out,
yep.
I think that was Montauk. Okay. So I always felt that, never knew what it was. And so I started having body memories of that. I started having body memories of, I had a hard time at the dentist's office, and that's because they use a dental chair in these labs underground. I remembered the university. I'd have pain, I'd have a body memory, and that would lead to EMDR therapy where the actual memory would come out. The Lord would confirm it somehow outside of therapy. And so what I saw was, I even looked it up on the internet, and I could figure out which university because I could recognize the outside of the building. And so I was taken from home, drugged, put in a car, hood over my head, went to the university, and they had a performing arts center where they had lots of little children there, and they would separate us by those that had a family to go back to and those that did not have a family to go back to. And so we go in the performing arts building, we perform all the pedophiles, and then they would choose whoever they were going to torture. And I saw the little child part of me calls it the money changing tables, where they would pay for us, and then they'd have like big, I don't know if they used the gym to house us overnight, and then the labs were there too underground, and they're big and they're dark, and so I guess that's a lot of information to you. How did I figure out it was a university?
So let me break a little bit, break in a little bit of that, and see if you have some memories in some of these areas. So these tables where people would pay for other children, do you have any memories of what class of people these were? Were they politicians? Were they successful, wealthy people? Do you have any memories of that?
I don't. My best memories are they're very serious people. They're very serious people. They take this very seriously. Plus, it's like a party to them. So I don't know. I know that there were lots and lots and lots of kids. I know, you know. So now in the lab, I knew that they were government employees. I mean, that was really clear. And I knew that, you know, there were doctors and nurses that were assisting there. So that I knew. But yeah.
So there was, sounds like there was the separate, there was a pedophilia that was going on, and there was some kind of lab experiments going on. So like you were talking about, some children will be auctioned off, and then some children were going to the lab work. So how was that? How did that work out?
So in the labs, with my memory, so they were underground. They were part of this university because it was all connected. They were big. They were nice. Long, dark hallways. And God bless the military who's cleaning this out. I just want to say God bless you. They used the dental chairs. Lots of kids. I mean, lots and lots and lots of kids. And they'd be hooked up. There was the experimentation, whatever that hat did with all the cords. You know, I'm sure it was electrocution, drugs, lots of drugs to get a little girl's body to do things that it is never made to do at that age. Drugs to see how much they could give a little body before it died. Experimentation with the drugs, the shock, the torture, the trying to see how much torture. I'll tell you what, there's that Operation Paperclip I've since learned about. This would be very much like the concentration camps in Germany, very much so. They're experimenting with people. It's continuing, but these are the kids. I saw with all the kids, they were on separate tables. There was adrenochrome harvesting, organ transplant or organ harvesting. They did amputations. I don't know if it was just for the heck of it. No anesthesia. Cannibalism. But I'll tell you, so everywhere I went, I saw God, Jesus was there, angels, demons. So I'm going to tell you about the angels. There's every child has what the child parts of me would call the angels, and not the be quiet, but the they're there. And they were female mothering angels, and every child had one, and they'd be over them soothing the child. And you know, so that was really good. I hope that gives people hope. I know I was in heaven quite a bit, the real me. So when this happens, the best way to describe it, my body stayed to have done to it whatever it was they were going to do, and the real me left. And Jesus would come and take me. And so my mind, my soul left. And so he took me to the green pastures from Psalm 23. There really are green pastures in heaven from Psalm 23. So we would go there. I was on the Sea of Glass a lot playing. So Revelation talks about the Sea of Glass, and it's a real place in heaven. So I would go there and play. I love to play soccer. God would be there on his throne, and he's a great cuddler. And so I spent a lot of time in God's lap cuddling, and I still do today. I mean, I still do today because he's just a great cuddler. And so I was gone a lot. And so it made it, I guess, more bearable.
Mm-hmm. So this happened. How long are these memories? So you say till five. When's your first memory of these start, do you believe?
So 2011 was the very first one whenever I had that memory of being in a crib. Mm-hmm. And then they just continued. So I have seen a therapist at least once a week, sometimes twice, ever since then to process these out. I have been working very, very, very hard on this. I spend an inordinate time with the Lord working through this. I could not have gotten through any of this without him. I'll be in prayer and worship and Bible study time, talking to him, getting for at least 2 to 4 hours a day. And so every day I have memories. Every day I'll have body memories. Every day I'll remember something new. Most recently, all the necrophilia is coming out. I didn't even know what that word was. I never said that word. I don't think I knew that was a thing. And so so I had this horrific body memory. And so it was time to go process out and figure out what it was. And so there was that too. I mean, just evil.
So necrophilia, what is that for everyone?
Sex with dead people.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, evil.
So it's incredible evil. It sounds like some of the children that were coming in, if they didn't have parents to go back to or someone that was, you know, monitoring them, or they would harvest them in some way. Is that correct?
That's right. Adrenochrome, organ harvesting, cannibalism. Yes. Demons. I mean, every one of these people had a demon right by him. And Baphomet. I saw Baphomet. He was in the adrenochrome harvesting areas. He was large and in charge. And I never saw him in other areas, but he was there.
Wow. So what actually do you think pushed you into having the sight that you're talking about, where you could see into that dimension, where you could see the angels? So I've had this as well, and I can move into those levels of consciousness. But it was, for me, it was like a choice and basically a development. Now, for you, it's probably some kind of trauma, or do you think you were born with it? How do you think it came for you?
So I have always had it. So when I was little, and you know, I don't know if that happens when children go through this. I do know that children see things, and then so. Throughout my adult life, even when I didn't remember my background, I always had visions. I can see things. I can see the spiritual. I can hear demons and angels and see. So I've just always been, and I thought everybody could. I didn't know it wasn't something that everybody didn't do. You know, seeing God and seeing Jesus and talking to Holy Spirit. It's a way of life because they were, I don't know, my family, I guess you would say.
Now, I agree with you, because I remember up until five years old, and that's kind of where it kind of stopped for me, I would see angels, like, when I get sick. So I was kind of sickly as a kid, and I think I almost passed a few times, but the angels would show up, and I remember telling my mom, I told my mom about seeing the angels, and she's like, well, she wouldn't believe me. She's like, well, next time you see the angels, come get me. So the one time I went to get... So I saw the angels, like, I think it was Archangel Michael, because there was a huge angel in the room. And I went to get my mom and bring her back. And of course, he was gone. But that was actually the last time, because he even told me, he says, this will be the last time you see angels. And because you're basically, you're going to be okay going forward. And so I was like, oh, that's good. Well, let me get my mom real quick. So before you leave. For the last time, so I brought it back, and of course, Angel was gone. And my mom was like, "Yeah, see," but I would see them, and now, as you know, I've almost had one of those traumatic experiences before. I talk about seeing Archangel Michael. So, in traumatic times, they will show up and they will comfort you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have angels baking chocolate cake in the kitchen. They make it into a coffee shop, and I don't see them, but I can sure smell what they're cooking up. And personally, I think they're ready for a big celebration about what's happening on Earth because we win. I mean, we win, we've won, and I think they're just getting ready for it. I've got a ladder in the backyard made of light that the angels come up and down. I have sentries, two sentries that stand beside me all the time that are, you know, so my warrior angels remind me of Roman soldiers, the way they're dressed and everything. Mm-hmm. And they're very fierce. And when I first saw them, I just saw them, actually saw them probably 4 or 5 months ago. Mm-hmm. And the day after I saw them, I was on a run and I looked. So I can also tell when people who aren't good, I have Kathy O'Brien, Mark Phillips talks about that 44%, four times the visual acuity after what you've gone through. So I can read people like a large print book with a magnifying glass. And so anyway, I was out running and I knew that there was a terrorist in my town. I could see him. I knew he was in this car. I knew he didn't belong. I knew exactly what was going on. And instantly I saw one of those angels take his hand and shield me from that man. And he never saw me go by and I went right by him and he just never knew I was there. And of course, since we have power, dominion, authority over these evil demons, I just prayed that down and that's not going to happen in my town. But yeah, so this is a way of life for me. It might sound any to other people, but this is a way of life. I hear them talk. I was in the gym one day and I walked by this lady and I heard this woman demon say, "Don't touch my polyp." And I hadn't heard one before, not recently. And I looked at my trainer and I said, "Did you hear that?" And she goes, "No." And then I realized later some demon had put a polyp in her and he knew who I was, or she did. I didn't know who they were. And so then I tried to find the woman to get that polyp out of her because we do have power, dominion, authority over these demons, but I could never find her again. Mm. So, I mean, this is like my world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is from my childhood. I mean, because I was with them all the time.
That's fascinating. I've had similar stuff dealing with demons too. Now you talk about time travel and Jimmy Carter. Tell us about that.
So this could have been a vision. I mean, I may be wrong about but I really do believe it's time travel. So what I remember is so again, I think this goes back to that Montauk, and I'd love to hear Kathy O'Brien share more about that, but. He was there. Jimmy Carter was there. And this would have been before he was a president or anything like that. And I time traveled and I saw that he was president of the United States. And then I came back and I told him, I said, "You will be president of the United States." And he just looked at me. I remember his head. He was just like, you know, just surprised. And but I saw it. But here, this gets more interesting. So when I was in high school early on, I won this trip to Washington, D.C. I wrote this essay. So it was early in high school, and the next thing I knew, I was in the Rose Garden a few feet from Jimmy Carter. And of course, I didn't remember. He didn't know who I was, but I consider this next thing prophetic. So part of this high school trip thing, we got to go to the Supreme Court. And this is personal, but I hope everyone appreciates the message. So when I was in the Supreme Court building, I started my monthly period. Now, today, let me tell you what that means to me. I went in the highest court of the land and my blood was shed and it's time for justice. I mean, I went there and the blood of these children is crying out for justice and in the highest court of the land that we have. And that's how I interpret that whole event. So yeah, time travel, prophetic. Yeah.
Wow. So what other prophetic things you have? I know you're seeing that we're going into a golden age, which I completely agree with, and I've talked about as well. The demons, I see the demons, I fight the demons. So the armor of God, I learned how to, it just manifested one time when I went after Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And
I heard you talk about that. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, and that was the first time that I was like, the armor of God came over me and I had the shield. I was like, wow, I got this now. So it's kind of like a next level. Sometimes you don't know what's coming next. As you develop, as you get more comfortable with these abilities, then you spontaneously start to have other abilities come through. What have you noticed as far as spontaneous abilities coming through?
spontaneous ability. So it's kind of a way of life. I am. So I have the ability to, I'll use phrases that I'll try, bind demons and stop them in their tracks. When I see them, when I know they're there. So the Bible says Jesus gave us power, dominion, and authority over these things. They are dead spirits. They have lost. We won. And so there is nothing more powerful on this earth than the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And so when I see one, I plead the blood of Jesus over it in prayer, and I command it to leave, get out, shrink, go away. I command angels, which, by the way, they do like to be told thank you. I don't think many people do. But I command angels. I tell them to get rid of them, you know. And so so I'll go into places, like whenever I know I'm going to go someplace where I've seen demons come out of people, because I'll see people sometimes talking and a big demon will come out and pop back in. And so I'll take oil, anointed oil, and I'll go to rooms beforehand and pray and anoint the room and the furniture with oil and plead the blood so I don't have to deal with them. So I've noticed that, for one example, you know, just the ability to get rid of them. Because they, you know, so even when I was little, they don't even wear clothes, right? I mean, they're defeated. They were burned up in hell. They're defeated. They don't wear clothes, and they don't have any power if they don't have people. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. And, you know, that's a great message for everyone, that every one of us, we're living beings with souls, and we have far more power than them. But a lot of the dogma and brainwashing and so forth that comes through is to make us feel that we're powerless against them, but we are far more powerful than they are. That's a great share. So seeing your dad in heaven.
Yeah. So this was a vision. So I have visions a lot, and it's nothing that I ask for, work toward, just all of a sudden I'll have a vision. Like I'll be running down the road and have a vision. I'll be washing the dishes and have a vision. So so with dad, I saw him. So, okay, Holy Spirit, he's super funny, and he loves like a big production and performance, like theater. He's very theatrical. And so he was giving a giant concert in heaven. They have like stages and platforms that we can't even comprehend because of all the people up there. And so Holy Spirit orchestrated this concert to honor Jesus, to worship Jesus. And my dad, when he was alive, he died in 2015. He was a jazz drummer in Sonoma County, California, and the Sonoma County Jazz Society followed him everywhere he went. There was a DJ in San Francisco that said he was the best jazz drummer on the coast. So, I mean, he was a monster drummer. So he's in heaven now. So I saw him playing the drums, and I mean, that man was concentrating. Normally he was like always fun with his drums. I mean, he was really serious, really, because, you know, what a big deal. And angels, so I guess there's some angels that love to play instruments or how to play instruments, and they're much bigger, of course, than dad. So just this full-on worship, people in the crowd were singing and wait, I mean, just so happy. And then Jesus came out, and the glory of him just made everyone just fall on their face and worship, you know, and the music died down during that, and that's whenever it ended, so.
Ah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So did that spontaneously happen, or did you desire that?
Mm-mm. No, these things just happen.
Yeah.
When dad died, like for example, when dad died, I couldn't feel feelings for a long, long, long time, because of what happened. I couldn't have survived if I would have felt. So I've been really working on feelings, but, had a hard time feeling feelings. So anyway, when dad passed, They say with people like me that we're afraid that we'll to ever cry, because if we do, we'll never stop. Well, newsflash, that's true. Once you start, you don't stop. So I had to go to California whenever he was dying and make decisions and things. And I mean, I cried for 3 days solid. I taught cried. And so whenever I got home, I felt the depths of grief. And, you know, praise God, that's the gift my dad left me, was the beginning of feelings. But anyway, I didn't know you could grieve like that. And I was in my garage lifting weights. So, of course, dangerous, put it down. And all of a sudden, in my garage, there's dad and God. Now, did I see him? No, but they were there. And because I felt the presence of God. And I felt heaven in my garage for maybe a minute, because we walk around now, it's like having weighted blankets on with all the worries and cares, and to be free of that. So anyway, so Dad was there, and the only word he spoke to me was, "Your mom really hurt you bad." And then he was gone. You know, I mean, he was gone already, but then he was gone.
Yeah. So that kind of brings up, you know, during the time frame where you're being abused, and it's like your parents didn't know it, or they just refused to acknowledge it. What do you think happened?
So I know my dad didn't know, because he was always gone, either drinking or working. Mom, she had to have known. I'm pretty sure that she knew. But again, from her childhood, so I have forgiven her a long time ago.
Good. Yeah.
Because if you grow up like that too, I mean, so anyway, so she knew, but good story there. So several years before 2011, when the repressed memory started, she was in my house, and she told me that she was really worried about going to heaven, that she didn't think she was going to go to heaven. Well, of course, rightly so now from everything I know, but then I was kind of surprised. But my sister also told me that she knew she was always worried. And so I told her about Jesus, and I told her that if she believed everything about Jesus in the Bible and asked him in her heart and wanted him to be Lord of her life, she'd go to heaven. So I prayed with her, and she accepted Jesus. And then everyone just kind of went on with life. Well, when she died, so she died a couple of years ago, and I was at the funeral, and all my little nieces and nephews, one of my nephews, Griffey, he came over to me, and he goes, "Lenny," and that's what all the little ones call me, is Lenny. He goes, "Lenny," he goes, "you know that woman in the box, that lady in the box," that's what he called her. He goes, "You know that lady in the box?" You know, that would be mom in her coffin, right? He goes, "She's standing right over there." Glory to God. And I can see her. And so, you know, then you just kind of go into shock. And he said, "And there's two big angels on both sides of her."
Uh-huh.
So she's in heaven too with Dad. I haven't seen her there, but she's there. Praise God.
Oh, that's good. Good for that little boy being brave. I remember when my great-grandmother died, she came to me, and there was like this there was a huge funeral, hundreds of people there. And my family already was, my nieces, nephews, uncles, and aunts were already starting to press down on me, because I'd talk about angels and stuff. And so she came to me and said, "Michael, tell them that I'm okay." And I was like, "No, great-grandma, they already think I'm crazy." And then I just ignored her. And then I looked back and she was gone. But I kind of regret that now. But, you know, that's brave for that little boy to do that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, the little ones can see, like we're talking about. At some point, we lose that, but we can regain that, like we're talking about. So yes. That's beautiful.
We can. And I believe God wants us to, because we're entering a new age. You know, heaven's on earth now. I mean, God lives in my house. His throne is here. Jesus, angel, heaven is on earth now, because we're entering a new age, and he wants everyone to be able to do this. As a matter of fact, to help us win this war, we all need to learn how to command angels and kick demons out.
Yeah. I brought them in. I worked on Kim Jong-un. When I first saw him, I came in and I was looking at him to see if he had a demon. Sure enough, he had a demon on him, but it looked just like him. And I kind of laughed. I was like, this is going to be easy. So then I started working on him, and I came back one time, and there was like this huge group of evil angels that were like waiting for me. And I was like, I called in the forces of angels, and there was a huge battle. So, and then not long after that, President Trump went and visited him. So and everyone was saying, the media was saying it was going to be a war, nuclear war. And I was like, nope, nope, nope. And don't worry, it's going to be okay, because I was working on him. And he's the only one in all the demons that I worked on that actually, his demon left and he became good. Usually they keep the demons, they try and stay with their demons, and then eventually they become weak and they get taken off stage. So that is good. You're right. So the angelic realm wants all of us to connect with the angelic realm and be at one with Jesus and God and so forth. They are there to help us, and they're, and you make a good point. Attitude of gratitude. Be thankful when they help you, because then you get more. So they like to be thanked as well. So, good point.
You know, literally, I know most people can't see them, but everyone has angels right beside them waiting. Like, you know, like, when are you going to tell me to do something? I mean, honestly, if they could see them, they're just sitting there tapping their toe, like, give me something to do.
Yeah. Because they're not going to, they don't, there's like this one thing that when you incarnate, they're hands off so that you can have your experiences. So if you have difficulty, and sometimes you'll try and work through the difficulties, but you have, a lot of people have, you know, a host of angels and so forth to help them out, like you're talking about. So yeah, you can call them, anyone can call them in. And then of course there's the dark side, and people, there are souls that work with the dark angels as well, but they can leave that. They can leave those dark angels, like I talked about with Kim Jong-un. All right. So you, Trump head in the clouds over your house on 8/23. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is just one of those interesting prophetic things. So I was outside of my house getting ready to take off for a run, and I looked up, and so God talks to me a lot in clouds. And so I take pictures all the time when I see clouds, and then later on, God and Holy Spirit will just show me what it was. So I didn't even see it when I took the picture. And the next morning when I was talking to the Lord, I'm like, oh my gosh, that is President Trump over my house, his whole head. And you can see the silhouette of it, and his hair is just flying up in the air, you know, in the blue part of the cloud. It looks just like him on the side. And when I kept studying that picture, I noticed, so this, it reminded me of Psalm 2. And because behind this Trump happy face with the big hair going up was another Trump behind him that had the Trump angry face on. And the angry face was facing this face. And in front of them, I believe, was a cloud with the outline of Satan. And Psalm 2 talks about, you know, how dare the nations plot in vain. You know, God has chosen his anointed, which we know he's chosen Trump for this. And that God at first, he laughs at them, and then he mocks them, and then he gets super angry. And that's exactly what I saw, you know, with Trump's head. So I just thought that was, and I hope it's also a prophetic sign that I get to meet him one day. Not sure about that. But I know it was a Psalm 2 sign about how the Lord's using him.
Yeah, that's beautiful, because Trump's a Gemini. So, you know, he's got that dual part, and it sounds like his dual is like the angel that's like the angelic part of him that it's like, you know, like I talk about, you know, I wear the armor of God and go in and basically defeat the demonic realm. I think that he has that aspect as well. And then there's the front that everyone sees. And of course, many of us, you know, love Trump. And then of course I'd say, unfortunately, the demonic realm and those that support the demonic realm at this point, hate Trump. So that's one of the things that I think that, you know, shows like this hopefully will help people see that there is a valuable side that will help humanity, that is there to help support humanity. And then there's obviously that side that is, you know, here to use humanity for its own purposes and not to help humanity. And a lot of people don't realize that. But that's one of the things that as you incarnate and you learn these things that you'll start to see. So experimenting on yourself with life waves. So this was kind of one of the things that really helped you a lot. Let's kind of delve into that a little bit.
Yeah, I was in my garage working out one day, and the Lord had told me to start listening to you a year ago. And I never listened to the LifeWave shows, everything else I did, but not the LifeWave. And I was lifting weights in January, and the Lord goes, I want you to stop everything and listen to the show. So I did, because anything he tells me to do is always wonderful. And that's an interview you did, and then you replayed an interview you did with David Schmidt. And the Lord said, I want you to buy the X39 patches. And I had been on a quest in 2022. The Lord told me, and I heard him clear as day, he was like, I want my people healed. Just, I want my people healed. And he told me that, so I can't, Western medicine triggers me quite a bit because of my past. And so he told me to start trying to find natural alternative healing modalities. And I've teased and frequencies, different things, but the life wave came up then. So and he told me if I bought it, he gave me Psalm 118 and he said it would renew the dew of my youth. Well, who doesn't want that, right? And then he gave me Psalm 120, you know, that I'd be really blessed if I tried it and if I bought it, if I tried it, if I shared it. So I got the X39. And the first day, I thought I ran a bit better and I thought I felt a bit better. And then I thought, oh no, it's just because you had a cold. And I live in the show me state, you know, and even though God said it was going to work, I'm like, you know, prove it, prove it. And so, so then day two or three, I was feeling, even better. Day three, I was in my car driving and, all of a sudden these feelings of, hope and happiness just overwhelmed me. And, you know, again, I've been working on feelings and those are two big ones and good ones. And it was so strong that, and it made me, I just felt so good, you know, just being able to feel. I pulled my car over and just sat there and just enjoyed it. And that lasted for about 3 hours. And I thought, you know, I kept thinking that maybe I was feeling better because I'd started dark chocolate because you'd recommend on that on one show or something. I said, no, it's these patches. And so then it began. And by like day 10, day 20, the Lord, anyway, early on, a couple weeks, the Lord told me, He wanted me to go all in. He wanted me to be a diamond partner. He wanted me to get all the patches. He wanted me to do it all because he said that it was going to heal me at a cellular level back to when I was conceived. Because I've always known that I was damaged at a cellular level with all of this. Mm-hmm. And the trauma started at conception because I remember being in the womb and things then too. So, then emotionally, things like... the triggers, the body memories, the anxiety, just started happening less and less and less. And I could stay calm and, to be able to have that peace. It's, if someone doesn't suffer with those problems, it's hard to describe how marvelous it is not to have them. And then of course I've had all the other benefits too. I mean, I run like the wind. My running coach has no idea what to do with me. I'm lifting weights super heavy. You know, I'm flexible. I'm like, what's that, Gumby? You know, I mean, I'm just so flexible. My personal trainer is like, what are you doing? So the patches, yes, they have been huge. And so that's why not now I'm selling them. So so my account is lifewave.com/life and more life. Mm. And I made that after Jesus 10:10. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came so we can have life and more life. And that's what LifeWave does.
That's beautiful. And I hope that people repeat that one more time so people can, you know, maybe jot that down.
Yes. So it's lifewave.com and then /life and spell that out, more life. When you go to that, you should see my name on the upper left. It's just going to say Lynn Hagerman. Lynn Scott. It's just going to say Lynn Scott. And so that's how you'll know you're there. And so just make sure it's the website is not intuitive. So just make sure you don't accidentally jump off if you're going to order something and go someplace else. But for anyone who's suffering things like me, what I really recommend is the X39, the X49, and the Eon, which Eon is AEON. Those, I mean, they're all wonderful, don't get me wrong, but those are the best. And then the Lord woke me up the other morning to share this. A lot of people are watching that maybe they have loved ones who are in different addictions, porn, alcohol, drugs, whatever. And you may want them to have these so that that way they have calm energy and they can think rationally. I've heard testimonies of addictions yep. really decreasing. But of course, people in those populations aren't consistent with anything. So the Lord said, put them under their sheets. That's what he said. So I'm going to buy that because they're activated within 3 inches of the body. Body heat activates them. That's why. And I thought, well, that's super creative. You know, you can just, like I do with my cat Gracie, you know, they're underneath her bed. She doesn't know, but she's so much more loving now.
She's much better now. Yeah, that's cool. So you've done a lot of forgiveness.
Yes.
And thanks so much for sharing all that. That is going to be phenomenal, I think, for a lot of people. So people that are interested in your work, and because that's a beautiful thing about LifeWave. Once you join somebody, you basically help support them and help them build a business or help them with their product or whatever. So people that are interested in your work, I hope they join with you. So forgiveness. Tell us about forgiveness and how valuable that is.
Yes. So I want to single out first myself. So there were a lot of things that I had to do that, you know, I wish I didn't have to do. And so the first thing is to forgive myself. And how that happened was, I've been working on it, but it was hard. And one day Jesus came as an adult, and this was a couple of years ago. And he took my hand in a vision, or maybe I did go to heaven. Sometimes I'm not sure which, but, and he took me across the green pasture, and I was a little girl again. And he took me, held my hand. We went across the green pasture, and there was his cross. And he was on his cross. He was holding my hand, and he didn't say anything, but he looked at me and he looked down at the foot of the cross. And I knew, so a lot of speaking in heaven is not done with lips moving. You just know what people are thinking.
Yeah.
And so what he said, or what I knew he was saying, was everything you feel bad about what you do, just put it down there at the cross. And so I did. And of course, being that little, the little girl part of me really couldn't articulate anything. She just knew that there was just a lot of icky stuff. And so she did that gladly. And then it was over and we just kind of skipped back across the pasture. So that was forgiving me, and that stuck. And I want to share too about forgiving the pedophiles, the government employees that were part of all those horrific things, and these medical people.
Yeah. So now before you do, this is a good, this is an excellent point, and I want people to really, pay attention, because I know a lot of people are like, there's no way I can ever forgive. And there's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world right now where I hear this all the time. There's no way I can forgive. I cannot, because I tell everybody to love everything, because that basically breaks the pattern that it has on you. And so when you forgive, basically you're letting that go. So you're carrying that. If you have anger or frustration or whatever you have against anything, you're carrying that. It's within you, and it's suppressing you, and it's keeping you under its spell, literally its spell. So that's why we talk about forgiveness and love. So love basically breaks that spell and frees you. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yes. Absolutely, 100%. And I've always known the criticality of forgiveness, but it was hard. You know, when I thought about what the pedophiles did, the impact on my life as an adult has been incredible in the bad ways. And it was hard, but I knew the importance. So what I did was I'm a businesswoman. So I decided to make it like a business transaction with the Lord. And he knows my heart. He knows me better than me. And so every time I thought of it or remembered something they did, I was like, I forgive them. You know, Lord, I forgive them. Did I feel it? No. Of course, I couldn't really feel it in either. But I didn't feel it. It was a business transaction. Just, I forgive them. And that was the best I could do for quite a while, a few years. But it was good enough. You know, there's much better, but it was just the best. So then one morning I was talking to the Lord, and he told me, ever since the election, I've been listening to, I hadn't heard of him before, but a guy named Kenneth Copeland. He's has a ministry, and he has a channel on TV called the Victory Channel. And so the Lord told me to start listening to him and all the pastors and people who are on his channel. So I did, have been ever since. Matter of fact, it's going right now. I always have it on. And he was going to be in Branson, Missouri at Keith Moore's church, which is close to me. And the Lord said, I want you to go. And Jesus was there too with me. He goes, I'll heal you, Lynn, if you go. So, you know, I had a choice. I didn't have to go. I didn't know what I was going to be healed from, though. I thought maybe it was these body memories or, you know, I didn't know what. But healing, yeah, I'm all in. So I went there, and gosh, tons and tons of people. but I was compelled by the Lord to get as close to that man as I could. And I don't do this kind of thing, but I had to do it. So I got within, I mean, if he spit, it would have hit me. You know, I mean, I got as close to that man as I could and just started listening. You know, looking around, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? How's this going to work? And I'd seen some things on TV and I was like, oh, please don't slay me in the spirit. You know, don't make me dance around. Don't make me do anything funny. You know, I just want to calmly be healed here. And so he told this story. And so there was a serial killer. I wish I'd remembered the name. I wish I looked up before. Anyway, serial killer. And he killed 20 women and he was getting ready to kill number 21. And he has the woman get in her car and drive them to where he's going to kill her. So she asked if she could put in a Kenneth Copeland tape. And he said, sure. And so then all of a sudden, the serial killer said, who said that? And in the back seat, he heard God say, son, this is your last time. This is your last chance. Now, he called him son. This is the goodness of God. I mean, the love of God is completely unfathomable.
Absolutely. Mm.
Son, you know, this is your last chance. And so the serial killer knew what that meant. So he told the lady he would turn his gun in if Kenneth Copeland took his gun. She's like, I don't know Kenneth Copeland, you know, but I'll try. So she called his ministry. He came down to this jail, took the man's gun. Man was convicted on death row, accepted Jesus, became a preacher on death row. I mean, Copeland tells the story so well. And then, but he's still going to be executed. So the day comes of the execution. And I don't remember if it was a shot or electricity or what it was, but Copeland was there. And he asked the serial killer, now Christian, new person. He said, right before you die, he goes, I want you to tell me, is God's grace enough? And so the man was preaching in this electrical chair or bed or wherever he was at, preaching up. And finally, the warden said, you know, it's time. So the guy's ready and the warden does whatever he does. And the man looks at Copeland and he goes, and he dies. God's grace is. So when I heard that story, it left the freedom in my mind, because here's what I thought. And this is the little girl part of me. But if there's justice, for people this evil, you know, people who are capable of doing this cut, the adrenochrome harvesting, the organ harvesting, you know, without anesthesia, people this evil, there has to be justice. God is not God if there is not justice. And so if there's justice, I knew I could forgive. And I mean, that left my head. I felt like I saw in the spirit a broom sweeping, cleaning out all that crap from my head, like windows were open, sun was shining in there, and I smelled green grass in the auditorium, and I felt like a bird flying up from the Psalms. She escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare, and I was free. And since then, I had this dream, not a dream. God speaks to me in dreams too, but a dream idea. I see myself at Gitmo talking to these people before they're executed, trying to tell them about the love of God, you know, so that they can find him, so they can go to heaven too. Because some people, you know, we've heard they have been, they will be. But that's just a dream that I have, that I feel like I need to do that to help them get to heaven.
That's incredible. Incredible story. And that's amazing, the experiences that you're having and what you're talking about. So kind of like circling back to my own personal experience to reinforce what you're saying, as far as like the forgiveness and the love and so forth, and how God will always take them in if they repent and let go of evil. When I was in Iraq and I wanted to like go against, because I could remote view and see evil. So I went against this one guy that was evil. I knew it was evil. I saw him before everybody else knew him. And he had a demon on him. So I was like, I'm going to fight this demon. That's not the way this works. They are very powerful in that realm and they always win. So when I went to fight that demon, I basically scared me back into my body. And then that night, I'm basically rising out of my body dead because they can control those that are part of their demon force in this physical realm. So a missile hit me during the night and I rose out of my body dead, and I'm looking down on my dead body. I'm like, oh, wow, too bad. I wish I could, you know, I thought I was really doing good. I could help humanity. And then I saw Archangel Michael and he put me back into my body. And then I had these super angelic powers after that. It's pretty cool. But that's available to everyone. From that point on, I just sent the love. So I'm like, I could gather a massive army and go after any one of these evil people that I've taken out at this point, and it would be less effective. So then what I do with the love energy, right, from the angelic realm, very, very powerful. Like we've talked about, it's far more powerful than their demonic energies, way more powerful. So give us a little.
If we all, oh, I'm sorry, not to interrupt.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Can you imagine if we all got together and did this as one?
Yeah.
I mean, the power and the energy that would go from that. Wow.
Oh, yeah. It would probably shut down a lot of this stuff. So yeah, maybe we should form a group, a life wave group that kind of focuses, because you have a lot more energy with the life wave patches. That's right. Truthers and those who support them. What are your personal messages for those people?
So I just want to say, God bless all of you. I mean, you are doing the Lord's work, and I can't begin to imagine what you're going through. You know, you and everybody else in the fight, the negative sides of things. But I just want to encourage everyone who's listening to support these folks, because they're out there on the front line. You know, share their shows, talk about the information with other people. Buy their products to support them financially. This is part of the fight to me. And I just wanted to share that just to say, God bless each and every one of you, because you've also helped in my healing. You know, bring people on that talk like this or different things. It's just, it takes us all.
That's so powerful. And I'm super humbled, you know, because there's been a lot of people that have been sharing like you lately. So fellow survivors like yourself, what do you have? What message do you have for them?
So what I have found for the most part is people who've survived this are hiding, they're isolated, they're still don't have their healing, don't have hope. So my hope is that you hear my story and hear the victories. I to focus on the victories, and that there's hope. Everything's going to be okay. You can make this too. Make it too. I created a website just yesterday to prepare for your show. Because the Lord, 2 years ago, he gave me a plan about what he wants everyone to do to help in this arena. And he called his program, this is his program, not my idea, it's very cool. He called it Q-Grit, like after that John Wayne movie where that young girl goes out and gets the bad guys, that this appeals to the little girl part of me. And the Q, and it stands for quantum growth, rebuilding, immersion, transformation. Lots of big words. Q-Grit's probably easier, but it's to help everyone in this fight. It's to help the kids, so it's his plans. And so I really encourage people who are victims and those that love them, go to my site. I put several things there, and please forgive me, I just went live like this morning. So if there's typos and stuff, I'll get it fixed. But I give you lots of tips and ideas of what helped me, different things that helped me get to where I am today, just to try to encourage you. And as time goes by, I'm going to keep adding more because I've been conducting extensive research and experimenting on, this is the victory. They experiment on me now as an adult. I'm experimenting on myself to heal myself and other people who've gone through this. Praise God. And so I'm trying to, anyone out there with products or certain products that you think would help this population, you know, send me some samples. Let me experiment on myself. And if they're helpful, I'll add them to my website to help other people.
And that's, is it lynnhagerman.com? Or?
So this area to help the trafficked and the abused and those with trauma is qgrit.org.
Oh, dot org. Okay.
Dot org. Q, the word grit, and dot org. The lynnhagerman.com. So I'm a human resource consultant across the country. So lynnhagerman.com is my business website.
Okay. Awesome. Still, that Q grid's still not coming up. Do you have it? Can you want to share it? Do you have it on that you can share the screen maybe?
So
Or you could share it with me later and I'll put it up.
Okay.
But if we could
Okay.
share it now. But yeah, there's lynnhagerman.com. You guys can see, I'll share that on the screen.
I'll double check it. The qgrit.org was live before I came on. So I'll check it again. Make sure it's back up.
Okay. And that's your, here's your website, Lynn Hagerman and Associates.
Yep, that's it. Yep, that's the business.
Very good.
So it comes up on my phone, the qgrit.org.
And spell it for me.
So the letter Q, then the word grit, grit.org.
Okay. Okay, there we go.
Yay.
I thought it was a D, so that makes a huge difference. So,
yeah, sorry about
let me share the screen. So that's a pretty cool, I like the colors on that. QGrit.
Uh-huh.
Quantum growth, rebuilding, immersion, transformation. We'll put the links down in the description box, guys, so you can if you can't find the pin.
Yeah.
So yeah, this looks beautiful. Good job.
Thank you. God wants to go quantum. So we're going quantum with this, guys. But I give you, what I'm doing today, God's plan for the future, products that are available now that help people, ideas that will help people who are trafficked, victims, survivors, things that other people can do to help.
Very nice. Yeah, and I saw on the qgrit.org is that basically has your LifeWave connection there too. So that's outstanding.
Yes.
So yeah, you've had some unbelievable results. I mean, we talked on Miracle Monday how, you know, that helps, and I guess God sent you in that direction, so that's good.
Yes,
I hope other people connect with it and have exceptional results like yourself. So very, very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, and we look forward to having you on again. We talked briefly about having you on with Kathy O'Brien, perhaps. So that would be good, and see what maybe come round table activity you guys could come up with some even deeper insights. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so too. I would love it.
Ah, very good. Well, thanks, Lynn. It's been outstanding. You know, you've been in the chats, you've been in the shows. I see you on the shows all the time. So it's good to see your story really come out, and I hope this is shared widely. It's a fantastic story.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's just been an honor and a pleasure. And I just thank the Lord for you and everything that you've done for coming into my life. I couldn't be more happy. You and Tracy Joe and everybody at LifeWave. And I'm grateful for you and all the work that you do too. So thank you.
Thank you. And same with you. I mean, you're definitely going to help make a huge impact for people. And David Schmidt, the owner of LifeWave, is very interested in supporting your work in the future. So who knows, maybe you will come in to do a show with us too. So that would be great.
Oh, wow. That would be exciting too. Wow. That's
absolutely
cool to hear. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm on cloud. If there's a place to be above cloud nine, I'm on it.
Well, you've been there, so that's for sure.
Yeah,
so
really, I have. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Lynn, and thanks everybody. Hope you got a lot out of this, and we'll see you guys next time. Stay in the love vibration. Life is much better that way.
Thank you so much for listening to Unleashing Intuition Secrets, the podcast. Until next time, stay in the love vibration as you continue your journey to become the master of your reality.